17 and 38. You guys, Bible say again?
Amen.
If you don't, ask the person beside you to scoot over. 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded the sword upon his armor, and the same to go, for he had not proved him. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved him. And David put them on. Let me just tell you something. A lot of times, let me just stop here for a little fast break. A lot of times people are, when they're just getting into the Lord, we try to throw all the things we've learned over 20, 30 years on them. And say, do it this way, and you'll be fine. And you're overwhelmed. Make sure when you're helping somebody along, you don't overwhelm them, but you guide them and you stand with them and watch what God will do. Amen?
Amen.
And he took the staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even to a strip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about, he saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. He's like a little youngin' out there. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that I've come to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and then the beast of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to thee with the sword, and with the spear, and with the shield. But I have come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thy hand from thee, and I will give thee the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day, and to the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Get on with it. Give a shout. Come on. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, but the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands.
Yes.
And it came to pass when the Philistine arose, it came and drew nigh to David, and David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines, and David put his hand in his bag and took out this stone and slay it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and fell upon his face to the earth. Woo. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David.
Wow.
Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, he drew it out of the sheath, and slew him, and cut off his head thereof. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled.
Woo!
That's awesome.
Yeah.
God chose the foolish things to confound the wise.
Yeah.
God chose the weak things to confound the strong. You may be here today and think, how can I do anything? I mess up.
Nothing.
And nothing shall be impossible. Give the Lord a hand for that.
flower bed fairies, since I finally figured out who they are. Jeannie and Wayne cleaned the spring flower bed, and it looks great, people.
Yes, it does.
Also, I want to say a special thank you to the praise team for last week and this week. I look forward to all the dance, great. It's always good, but it's just been exceptional the last couple of weeks. The two announcements I wanted to make today right quick is the Rural Women's Club has a chicken plate fundraiser coming up. It's on Saturday, May 4th. They will be selling tickets in advance. If you would like to buy a plate, please get up with me because I'll be glad to sell you one. They will be dispersed through Juan's Dudley's house here on Highway 33 in Edward that day. From 11 to 2 p.m. It's right beside St. Luke's, which is across from the post office, in case you don't know where that is. And they will be out there in full force. This is a good organization that does wonderful community activities. There's only about 18 women in there, and they probably represent three-fourths of the churches in this area, honestly. Also, that same day, on that Saturday, there's going to be a book sale at the Library of Aurora. They use that to buy new books with. Most of the books that they'll be selling that day are things that have been given to them that they have more than one copy of. Books will be 50 cents. Go find you something to educate you. Or read to your child, or whatever. Anyway, thank you. That's it.
Praise God. The Lord hand have a praise. God is so awesome all the time.
God is awesome.
God is awesome. I'm looking forward to what God's plan on doing with us in the future. It's something very powerful going on. Also remember Cindy Porter today. She just buried her husband a few weeks ago. Now she's burying her daughter today. And so I'll be doing the service at 3 o'clock if y'all can. Visitation's at 2, and the service is at 3. If you can, go show her some support, because I know how devastating it was, when we lost Bethany. I can't even imagine losing, I lost a spouse, but not at the same time. I can't even imagine how it is to lose them right back to back. And God's going to touch her, he already has, but it's going to be something that's, please, go show her some support at Aurora Methodist Church. I read this story, and it kind of reminded me of people I counsel and people that I, as a pastor, go, can you help me out, Pastor? Can you tell me something? Can you help me get through what I'm going through? Show me, tell me, I can't wait. Just tell me because I need some help. Well, a severe rash prompted this man from a rural area. Y'all just say redneck. A severe rash prompted a man from a rural area to come down to a town to be examined by one of the doctors. After the usual history taken, followed by a series of tests, the physician advised the patient that he had to get rid of the dog that was evidently causing the allergic reaction. As the man was preparing in the office, the doctor said, ask him out of curiosity if he planned to sell the animal or give it away. Neither one, the man replied. I'm gonna get me one of them second opinions I've been reading about. It's a lot easier to find a doctor than a good bird dog. Yeah. Y'all got to burn the book. All right. God is so awesome. Y'all know this, there's David and Goliath. David didn't have a sling like this. It was either two so big, we can't attack him. And David said, he's so big, I can't miss him.
Wow.
Well, come on, y'all.
Amen.
Saul said, he's so big, we can't attack him. Goliath, and David said, he's so big, I can't miss him. So now I'm here right now, you got some big things going on in your life, and you're thinking like Saul, it's so big I can't attack it. And you can be like David and say, it's so big I can't miss it.
Wow.
Amen. God's got there. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God's got there. Wow. So, these sermons are preached time and time again from David's viewpoint. I've done this something similar years ago. But today we're going to do, we're going to preach it from Goliath's viewpoint. We're going to talk about Goliath and what he found out along the way. So first, here's Goliath. And for Goliath, it was just another day at office. Just another day for Goliath like he normally did. He'd go out, he was just a bad, bad dude. He was a marauder. Goliath means beheader.
Wow.
And you got to hold on to this because in the next few weeks, you're really going to dig deep into beheader. Alright? So, Goliath means beheader. He was the champion, which meant he was the gap standard for his nation. And he had challenged Israel for 40 days and 40 nights. Send me one man, just one. We'll go one-on-one, winner take all. The rest of y'all be slaves. And here's where some people are today. Listen, please listen carefully. There's some people in here today. They're just like this. He beheaded Israel without a fight.
Oh,
God. He intimidated by his size. He intimidated by his speech. He intimidated by his weapons. And so for 40 days and 40 nights, he stood in the valley in between, both of them on mountainsides, and said, somebody come out and fight me. And Goliath, again, beheaded Israel without a fight.
Right.
That's typical warfare for Goliath. There's somebody here today who can say, hey, have you been watching me? Have you been in my backyard? Have you been filming me? Because I know that Goliath, Satan, has got the best of me. He never drew his sword.
Oh, yeah.
He played mind games with me. He's in my head. And he won't let me rest.
Right.
He's tearing me apart on the inside.
Yeah.
Because the beheader is taking you out.
Right.
Without a fight.
Yeah.
Mind games. The biggest battlefield you step on every day of your life is anywhere between 4 and 6 inches is from ear to ear. That's your battlefield.
Right.
If you can't win it here, you can't win it on the ground.
Right.
It's got to be here. So, he's got him. But then he met a little shepherd boy. And when he met that little shepherd boy, he was about 17. He was the runt. He was red-headed, freckled face. Little shepherd. Against all these big guys, he'd get ready to find out something he never expected. And I hope, we're only going to do one thing today when we get through here. I hope that you find a way to quit letting the enemy behead you without ever drawing his sword.
Yeah.
It's true, the battle is gigantic. But if King David taught me anything, it was when God is involved, giants do fall.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So now, here we go. Get ready. There are 5 things that Goliath did to bring his defeat by the shepherd boy. 5 misconceptions. 5 overthoughts. You know, like a lot of times we just overthink things. You ever overthought things?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yes. You just overthink it. And by the time you get through overthinking, thinking, and your stinking thinking has got you laying down while the devil just beheads you without a fight.
Right.
So, here we go. Satan still uses those five things today to bring us down. Want you to listen carefully. Number one is the greatest one. Let's go spend some time in camp on it today. When you start seeing these things, I want you to remember, you must never allow these things on the spiritual battlefields of life. And watching David and Goliath should bring hope to help us live in the hitter. It's coming at us. God's got you. God's anointed you. God's appointed you. Even when things have gone crazy in your life, even when you're trying to figure out what in the world is happening around you, know that God has you in the palm of His hand. Satan cannot snatch you out. You're going to have to crawl out. So here we go. Look at that. That was a mighty army this week, too. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. I looked at that and I thought about Buttons, my little bitty dog Buttons, and then this great old big lab, Rex. That's how I look. And from the very beginning when we got married, Rex came in the house and Buttons said, uh-huh. And little bitty Buttons controlled that great old big lab for the longest time. Because Buttons, and that's going to be part of this too, Buttons has some fight in her. So get ready. He judged the side of his opponent, or judged the outcome by the side of his opponent. You may not realize this, I don't mean to scare you, but every last one of you in here, Satan is constantly sizing you up. He's figuring out spiritual warfare and what works. Because some spiritual warfare is not going to work on me, but it works on you and vice versa. And so while this is all going on, he's sizing you up. And as you begin to learn things, he begins to go in another direction so he can take you down. Sizing you all the time, trying to attack you. The Bible says, when he saw David, he disdained him. He disqualified him because he was just a youth. Stop right there. How many times, when the enemy is coming in like a flood, you say, I can't do anything about this. Maybe not because you're young in body, but you're young in the Lord. And you're going, I don't know what to do. I'm going down. So I just spoke giving into him. I cannot win. I'm too young. I'm disqualified from the fight. Don't raise your hand. Every last one of us has said that. He disqualified him. Because it was you. Actually, Goliath was insulted. The entire army of Israel, the entire army's out there. They've got on the shield, and they've got the spear, and they got the sword, and they got the brass, they got the helmets. And they sent a little boy out. With nothing. When you stand up and you don't think you can, you insult him. Because he knows. If he can get you, get in your head, he can take you down. Just remember, he couldn't do it with somebody else's armor. He had to do it. Of what God had given him. Later he had armor. Later he used swords. Later he had out with a little old bag and a sling and a rod. The Bible says that Goliath laughed and mocked him. Close your eyes right now. Close them. Just close them so you can't look around or look at anybody else. Don't raise your hand. How many in here within the last 24 hours has heard the enemy laugh at you and mock you and say you don't have what it takes? You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You don't know what you're doing. Let's go back a week. How many of you have been telling you that since last week? Maybe the week before. Every time you get ready to get up and do something for God, you hear you're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not equipped enough. You don't have what it takes. Open your eyes. Goliath had already determined the winner. An easy, quick victory. Some of y'all in here, the beheader has already decided, because he's not omnipotent, he's not omniscient, he's not all-knowing, but he's sized you up, he has mocked you, he's told you you're not qualified, you can't do this, you're over your head. He's already got you sized up and think it's a quick victory. That was a big mistake. I'm going to count to three. When I count to three, I want everybody at the same time to holler, that's a big mistake. Because the Satan's telling you right now, you're not going to make it, you can't win, there's no way, you're down and out, it's not going to happen. Ready? One, two, three.
Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be
trying to mock you, ridicule you, disqualify you. The Bible says in Philippians, let me get this up here, Philippians 1 and 28. The Bible says that nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is given an evident token of perdition, but to you the salvation and that of God. A little short side note. I was working at Fountain, I was a dust engineer manager, so every audit but the government, the IRS, but other than the IRS, I got every audit brought in from every organization. And even when the IRS came in, they called me, and I still got involved. Something wrong with every audit. One day I come in, I've been to lunch, I come in, and I saw the maintenance manager walking with this guy with all these cameras. And the maintenance manager was a Christian friend of mine. We always cut up with each other. He walked past me, and I said, "How you doing, Bo?" And he went, I said, "What in the world is that?" I go to my office, and one engineer says, "They're looking for you everywhere." I said, "Why?" Then the phone rang. At the same time, they were calling me over here. The COO called me and said, "David, come up here." I said, "Man, I got some projects going on that I can't wait till later on." He said, "Hey, don't ever talk to me like this." He said, "No, you come up here now." I said, "Yes, sir." And I walked up there, and when I walked in the room, there was a bunch of guys with cameras and all kinds of stuff, and I walked in. The little side note is our safety manager, he quit 2 weeks before. I walked in, he said, "This is OSHA." I went, "Oh, wow." And my heart started going, "Whoa, whoa." Then my heart really started doing this when he said, "This is David Litt, he's our safety manager." Me and that OSHA guy got just like this. He always called me when he was coming in. He let me know when he was coming.
Wow.
No more surprise attacks.
Hallelujah.
And I knew that. Somebody said, how are you getting away with this? I said, dude, had you ever seen the favor of God?
Right.
Let me read this. Amplified version. And do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries, for such consistency and fearlessness will be a clear sign, proof and seal to them of their impending destruction, but a sure token of evidence of your deliverance and salvation. And the message, I love it. Not flinching or dodging in the slightest before the opposition, your courage and unity will show them what they're up against, and defeat for them, and victory for you, and both because of that.
Amen.
And then one more. And then we're moving on. 1 Timothy 4:10. How many here have been told lately that you haven't been in it long enough to know what you're doing? How many in here been told you just ain't got what it takes anyway? I don't know why you keep trying. You're too weak. And you look at somebody else and say, see, you're not like that person, you're not like that person. What he's trying to get you to do is put their armor on so he can defeat you. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. First, the message. And don't let anyone put you down because you're young or inexperienced or new. Teach believers with your life, by word, by demeanor, by love, by faith, by integrity. And in the New Living Translation, don't let anyone think less of you because you were young or inexperienced, but be an example to all believers in what you teach and the way you live, in your love, and your faith, and your prayer of purity. David was getting ready to have the first recorded rock concert.
Woo!
He's going to bring the house down, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get ready. The mightiest things are wrapped in the tiniest packages. That tiny atom split had the ability to destroy a good portion of Japan. A small rattlesnake is as deadly as a large one. The Midians were overthrown by Gideon's 300.
Yeah.
Elijah and his servant to stop the Syrians. Don't judge a book by its cover. See a little light, a little cat. Look at his shadow. It's a mighty lion. Here we go. Anybody ever heard of mustard seed faith? Anybody ever seen a mustard seed? I meant to get some. I'm sorry, I had a funeral Friday, had a funeral yesterday, got one today, and it's just been boom, 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 and plus the other stuff going along. Just like this morning on the way here, I got stopped by the funeral home and wanted to make sure everything was right for today. So it's just been constant. So I didn't get it. I was going to get a pack of mustard seeds and pass them out. If you got a pen, get your pen out. If you got a pencil, get your pencil out. You got one? Now take your finger and cover the entire end of the pen. Look at that little bitty speck you see.
Yeah.
That's the size of a mustard seed. It's the smallest seed that has powerful results. Matthew 7:20 says, Jesus said unto them, because of your belief, for verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, I'm sure he was pointing to, you shall say to this mountain, look under place and it shall remove, and nothing, and nothing, come on, and nothing shall be impossible for you. What do we say? The past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God has been with us, and nothing shall be impossible. Give the Lord a hand clap of prayer. We're getting ready to close. We're getting ready to lie here. This is over here, buddy. Two scriptures, and then we're going out here. You ever feel weak? How many felt weak before? Mentally? Spiritually? Emotionally? I'm raising my hand. God knows this is going to happen. So he had Paul write this scripture here. Therefore I take pleasure. Let me look at the moment. He's going to tell you, swear by the Greek. Just to make it even more close to home. Take pleasure in your affirmities. And that word affirmities is where we get the word anesthesia. Something to weaken you, to knock you out. Take pleasure in something in you that is so strong it's dragging you down. That is so strong that it's taking the wind out of yourself. It's so strong it makes you want to quit. Take pleasure when you have those. Also, in reproaches, which is insult, injury. When the beheader's telling you you're disqualified. In necessities, which is distress. Always needful. Needing something. And sometimes we need something and we don't know what it is. How many's ever had a youngin' screaming? And your wife goes, it needs a bottle. She give it a bottle and still screaming. So she says, well, it just needs to pass you.
Right.
It's still screaming.
Right.
She says, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to do one more pass you. She said, well, I said, I'm going to pass him to you. Sometimes you have these necessities in your life and you don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
Can't figure it out. Why do I feel so bad? Why do I feel so weak? Why do I feel so incompetent?
Yeah.
God says, when you're feeling that way,
yeah,
don't lose hope.
Yeah.
Also, he said in persecutions, and that word persecutions means to be chased down.
Wow.
Don't you know your enemy is chasing you down? He's not just sitting back in the easy chair. He's chasing you down. He's doing his best to let you always feel him breathing on the back of your neck. And you're thinking, I don't know if I can do this or not. I can't do this anymore. And then distresses. That's narrow places. Being closed in on. He says, when all this is happening to you, just remember, this is happening to you because you're a child of God. And remember, believe it or not, Christ felt the same thing. He said he was tempted in all points like as we are. All points. Y'all say all points.
All points.
He knew what it was like to have infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecution, distresses. He understood this. And so because he understands this, Paul said, I discovered when I'm weak that he's strong.
Yeah.
pray for him before we go into the sanctuary. And I said, how many here? He says, I got to be strong today. Hands go up everywhere. And I go, I'm getting ready to tear your theology all to pieces. Put your hands down. You don't have to be strong. Because if you try to be strong on your own, you're going to fall on your face. Change the way you think about it. Let God be strong in you. I said, now put your hands up and say, God, be strong in me. Be strong through me. Y'all say this with your hands up. God, be strong in me. God, be strong through me. Now watch what happens. You see, Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh. Of course, part of it we know was he was blind. He was sick. He had malaria. He was so sick that he carried Luke around with him. He was a physician. Luke, anytime you look, see Paul, and especially in the book of Acts, you hear about us, and Luke's there too, he just don't put his name in it. He had his own physician going around with him because he was so sick. He prayed for everybody else to be healed, but he's still sick. And now a kick in the mouth. But the other part of that thorn in the flesh was the memory of all those families he broke up. Of all those homes he destroyed. Of all those jobs he had taken. Of all those birth certificates that got tore up. By all the people that were fed to the lions. Because he thought he was doing a good thing for religion. And killed a lot of people. And the rest of his life, even though God had forgiven him, and he knew that, that thorn in the flesh would hit him. Remember what you did? Remember how you did that? How can you preach love when you had so much hate? How can you preach deliverance when you were so bound? How can you talk about the love of Christ when you, he had to knock you down off your horse to talk to you? That's the thorn in the flesh too. Paul said, I found out when I'm weak to be strong. That Bible says, so I will please with weaknesses, with insults, with distress, with persecution, with difficulties for the sake of Christ. For I'm weak in human strength, and I am strong, truly able, truly powerful, truly drawing from God's strength. Here's your assignment this week. When Satan begins to discredit you, when the beheader comes and tells you it's no good, it's over, you can't do this, you're not good enough, whatever he's telling you to discredit you, here's what I want you to say. Y'all say, we're probably saying, you sit behind me. Do this. You're right.
You're right.
I can.
But he can.
But he can.
One more time. You're right.
I can.
But he can.
Yeah.
Now say, watch out.
Because
we have come.
Because he's coming.
I love the wide earth. And say, you tell him I'm coming. You tell him wide earth's coming. You tell him I'm coming. Of course, he says he's bringing hell with him. Look, we ain't bringing hell with us. Look, you tell him, you tell the devil, I'm coming. And I'm bringing my big brother with me. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Try to stand. God's got this. There is no way. he can.
But
one more time. You're right.
Right.
I can't.
But
he can. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've been hearing this stuff, first off, if you're here today and you're not where you know that you should be with God, every head bowed, every eye closed, just put that hand up. Either you need to be saved or you need to draw closer to God, whichever way. But you know you're not where you should be with God. But you just put that hand up. Touch him, Lord. Touch him. I'm going to pray about that in just a minute. Maybe you're here today and the beheader has gotten the best of you. Maybe you've been fighting him for weeks and he finally got you believing those lies. You're not good enough. You're too young. You're too inexperienced. Somebody tried to put Saul's armor on you, and you're not ready for that. Abel was ready for it later, but not then.
Yeah.
And the enemy has beheaded you over and over and over,
yeah.
And he never drew his sword.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you, but nobody else is looking around. Everybody's eyes are closed. You felt that you've been beheaded multiple times lately, insulted by Satan, mocked by Satan, intimidated by him. Nobody looking around, every eye closed. Just put that hand up and say, pray for me. I feel it. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. I believe with all my heart that we're getting ready to see a power shift.
Yeah.
I believe with all my heart we're getting ready to see God do something that we haven't seen in a long time.
Yes.
And because of that, because this is Gideon's 300, the beheader's trying to take you down before you ever, ever pull a weapon out. Let's pray together right now, all of us. Father, I love you. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. Right now, Lord, I totally rededicate my life to you. I cannot do it on my own. I'm tired of trying. It's in your hands. And I thank you, God. But one more time, pull me back in and strengthen me. Thank you, God. Also, God, don't say this. Also, God, the beheader is coming on strong. Help me, God, to see it, to know it, to understand it, not to put on Saul's armor, not to put on Saul's armor, but with what you've given me, God, help me stand up in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, God. And I thank you, God. And I thank you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. of Jesus. We thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wait to hear something good, sister. That's right. Okay. You're going to want a mask. Come on up here. We're going to pray for you. She said, remember to pray for. We didn't do this for the guys. Guys, y'all forgive me. I didn't do it for y'all.
Jesus, bring us back next appointed time.
Yes.
Safely. Yes. In Jesus' name we pray.